All right. This is Beaches with Radio Staller. This is some pre-recorded content coming to you from the mezzanine at the Hope Conference. I'm here with Mr. Rambam, who's just finished his talk.
In beautiful downtown Manhattan.
Beautiful downtown.
And I'm very impressed that you pronounced my name correctly. In Texas, I'm Rambam, as in thank you, ma'am.
Oh, man.
Well, at least it rhymes, but sadly, Rambam is Rambam.
No, it's not sadly. It's a good name.
It's a good name.
It's a good name, yeah.
So...
What can I tell you?
Well, so I was actually not able to actually listen to your talk this year. So you've been doing Privacy is Dead for a very long time now in different installments. What did you talk about this time?
This was a completely different talk. I did a little bit of Privacy is Dead. I covered some of the... I won't say advancements in the field because, you know, the more privacy that's taken away is certainly not an advancement. I covered some of the latest developments. I talked quite a bit about Facebook and what Facebook is trying to do. The new wrinkle now is that what Facebook and Google are doing and Microsoft and Apple is starting to congeal into what in China is called a social credit score. People are going to start using your Facebook profile and your Google information and so on and so forth to decide your credit worthiness, to decide your character, you know, should they rent you an apartment and so on.
I think that has some very shocking ramifications. I mean, how do you necessarily know if you're going and searching for something, how do you know what's actually about you and what stuff is something that's been faked and it's very easy to grab a domain and spread some shit and make it look like you're a terrible person even if you're not.
Look, that's exactly the point. You don't know what you don't know. I use a ridiculous example, but a real one, to talk about how widely divergent information can be used to tell things about you. For example, when Volkswagen started selling their Beetles again, they determined that people who own cats and eat chunky peanut butter, if the person owned a cat and ate chunky peanut butter, they would be four times as likely to buy a Volkswagen Beetle. I mean, the amount of research they must have done to determine that is astounding. But the point is, information, completely off-the-wall information, can be used to extrapolate out to amazing things. Facebook is developing, through facial recognition, a social credit score so that if you walk into a store, Facebook's facial recognition will say if you're a good customer, if you're trustworthy, if you should be given discounts, if you should be given certain offers. I mean, Facebook is going places where they shouldn't go, and all of the information, all of the photos, all of the posts, all of the friends, everything that you contributed to Facebook is now going to be used against you, so to speak.
Yeah, and that's really awful because, I mean, you're trusting somebody that, you know, you're using a service and you trust that they're not going to misuse that, and that's definitely going to be a misuse.
Look, Facebook is already at the point, they're so much at the point they've patented it, they can tell if you're going to have a dramatic incident in your life. Are you going to have a health issue? Is a loved one going to die? You know, are you going to lose your job? So on and so forth. They actually predict that now, and they do it, pretty effectively. You know, you don't know what your information is going to be used for. DNA is now being used in the United Kingdom to match roommates, whether you're compatible with a roommate. That's true. Well, DNA now can be used to make a reliable picture of somebody.
That's insane. That's crazy.
Look, I'm writing a book on this topic. What I did here in 3 hours, which is considered, of course, a very long Facebook talk, is only a tiny, tiny percentage of what we do in a 40-hour open source intelligence class. By the way, Fraternal Order of Investigators is putting on a 4-day seminar right in this hotel, right in the same room, and that's where the open source intelligence class day 2 is going to be taught. You know, there's just too much to cover. I mean, sadly, and I'm not using that word loosely. I'm incredibly, you know, sad about it. this is going to be the last hope I'm ever going to participate in. Hope has become too politicized, too anti-American, especially when you look at some of the leadership, ridiculously anti-Israel. I mean, to the point where it's borderline anti-Semitic. I don't care about the right-wing stuff, and I don't care about political opinions. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion, and I got to tell you, the people on the right and the people on the left in this country both suck right now. Everybody has a legitimate cause to complain. But I think that for Hope to not be in all regards at all times intellectually honest is not something I can fly air cover for. I'm not going to be the human shield for anti-Semitism, for example. I'm not going to do it. To have Snowden speak to Hope with uncritical analysis of everything he says, not asking him why he revealed what we're doing to keep tracks on North Korea, why he revealed the techniques that we're using to go after narcotics traffickers. How does he think that that's to the benefit of the world in general? North Korea is a concentration camp with a flag. Narcotics traffickers, by definition, need to be surveilled and pursued. Nobody asked him about that. They brought in Daniel Ellsberg, who's a decent human being, and they didn't allow any critical questions. Now this year we have Chelsea Manning, and they allowed him to put forth a narrative like he was this wonderful whistleblower acting on everyone's, on behalf of everyone's best interest. Didn't talk about that he was having an emotional meltdown. Didn't talk about that he was angry at the Army, that they were so concerned about him hurting himself, they took the bolt out of his rifle, that he got into physical altercations with other soldiers. They made him out as if he's a hacker. They made him out as if he's a freedom of information warrior. Neither of those things are true. You know, it's this is one of the greatest organizations that I've ever had the pleasure of participating in. And I'm on the boards of other organizations, and I'm the founder of Fraternal Order of Investigations with some other people. But I got to tell you, this organization, which is substantially left-wing, in my opinion, is one of the most important and one of the finest organizations I ever participated in, with some of the best people in the world. I've got dozens of very close friends in this organization. And I think the fact that politics were allowed to infect this organization and its events and skew critical thinking and intellectual honesty, man, I think it's a crying shame. I mean, the world terribly, urgently needs hackers right now. It needs people who are going to cut through all the BS and talk about, you know, what happened with the DNCC and Guccifer 2.0 and Assange and everything that caused us to have Trump as a president. And more important, everything that caused us to only have two terrible choices, which were Trump and Hillary Clinton. I mean, the world needs hackers. The world needs people who can penetrate black boxes, who can stop bad algorithms from taking effect, algorithms that decide without human interaction if somebody goes to jail, if somebody can rent an apartment, if somebody's a member of a gang, and usually wrongly. You know, this is just a critically important and needed organization, and I think it's being killed.
So if you think that it's being killed...
Not Radio Statler, by the way. Let me tell you, my opinion is, if it's not on Radio Statler, I don't know if it's true or not. You are my go-to news entity.
You're aware that we only exist for 3 days every other year, and we don't really do news, right?
Correct. Which is why Don't make me do the math, but 700 plus days every 2 years, I make no important decisions. Okay, I'm being a smartass. What do you expect?
I appreciate the compliment.
I'm being a smartass because you guys are wonderful in that you give all your guests a big red cup full of liquor, which is a very clever interviewing technique. As a professional investigator, I wish I could do this.
I'm really
all right, you want to laugh, you can laugh. Folks, I know you're listening to this, but you couldn't tell how he was biting his lip there.
Yeah, sadly, we don't have much video on the radio.
Not much video on the radio.
Yeah.
I tell you, that's got to be like a country western song, right?
I mean, if it isn't, it probably is now.
Not much video on the radio, yep.
Since you have so many friends that are in, like, related to Hope and all that, if you feel it's becoming too politicized, is that something that you've been talking about with them to kind of, like, expressing your opinion?
I have, and I was debating what I was going to do. I was debating whether I was going to talk at Hope. I also almost didn't talk at Hope because of a difficult family situation. But, you know, I was saying, should I do it? And everybody was saying, don't be ridiculous. I mean, we accept, you know, whatever you say, we're going to let you say it. We're not going to censor you. And I've, by the way, you know, I've spoken at every single Hope since the first one.
Yeah.
I mean, I love these people. I really do. I think they're smart. I walk into a Hope conference, my IQ goes up 20 points. They're profoundly decent people. There's some knuckleheads. There's some knuckleheads, but I got to tell you, a lot smaller percentage than most other organizations. Everybody here is whiplash smart. They're inquisitive. They want to know the truth. They want access to raw, unfiltered information. And this is one of the few groups that can make that happen. You don't want to release information? You don't want to tell the truth about something? No problem. We'll just frickin' hack it. And there's a desperate need for that right now. So to have an environment now, I mean, I got to tell you, you can't imagine how big a supporter I am. You know, I'll tell you something you may not know. I was arrested at the 2010 Hope Conference. The FBI actually came in and took me off the stage right before I could talk and arrested me. False charges. I'm still a detective. I still have no criminal record. Of the six FBI agents that were involved in that overall investigation, one of them, Michael Grimm, went to prison. Four of them had to retire, and I won't name them because they were kind of lower-level people who followed the bosses. And one of them, Ted Cacioppi, who was a pretty bad guy, they transferred him to the SCUBA unit. And it was really funny. I got a phone call. And my friend says, you know, Ted Cacioppi swims with the fishes. And I said, oh, my God, he got killed? They said, no, we transferred him to the SCUBA unit. And, you know, the expression, he swims with the fishes. It was a good line. So I got to tell you, I survived it fine. But let me tell you what Hope did. Hope, because I was arrested at the Hope Conference, said we are not declaring the end of the Hope Conference. And 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, when all the charges were dropped and everything was fine, they took the entire auditorium at the Stevens Institute of Technology and they packed it. They packed it. It was not just standing room only. People were hanging from the balconies. The dean of students was there. People came from 15, 20 states. And Eric Emanuel introduced me, and he said, and now for the last seminar of Hope. And I gave my talk, and I tell you, man, I was surrounded by love and by support, the best people in the world, the best people in the world. They weren't gonna deal with an FBI false arrest. I mean, first of all, they knew me. They knew I didn't break the law. But they didn't care. They just backed me. They had my back. Everybody. And I want to tell you, the FBI hated that. And I kept coming back anyway. So when I came back in 2012, the day before the Hope Conference, the FBI filed a complaint against me with the New York State Licensing Authority to try to take away my PI license and my gun permit because they were so mad. The day before the HOPE conference in 2012, and of course, kept my license, kept my weapons permit, kept everything. 2014, they tried to institute a charge against me impersonating an FBI agent 2 days before the HOPE conference. That was dropped the following Monday. They hate that I support HOPE and that HOPE supports me because they think, you know, I'm giving you guys secret law enforcement information. The sad thing is that nothing that I talk about at HOPE isn't open source.
Everything you talk about is about open source intelligence, right?
There's nothing that I talk about that's confidential. Now, I will tell you, I did get a hold of Chelsea Manning's file, but in a legal way, and I got a hold of the court transcript, and that's how I know that Chelsea Manning, despite what she reinvented herself as today, at the trial said, I really apologize for this. Releasing those documents, essentially declassifying those documents, was above my pay grade, and I shouldn't have done it. You know, they should have been looked at. I'm sorry if I endangered anybody's life. Chelsea Manning told the truth then and is now reinventing herself as a warrior for free information and a whistleblower, and I think all of that's bullcrap. And the audience at HOPE, and that's not why I'm leaving. It was just the last straw. But the audience at HOPE should have gotten a less reverential environment. People should have been able to get up. Now, you know, I got up and I asked the question, and everybody came to me and said, you were right asking that question. I got up and I said, Ms. Manning, as you know, or maybe you don't know, but I'm sure you've heard it, even if people in the room haven't. The understanding is that there is now a sealed warrant against Julian Assange because either willingly or inadvertently, you provided information that allowed for him to be charged with conspiracy for you releasing classified information. And Chelsea Manning, if you were down there, said, I can't talk about that. You know, I can't re-release information. I can be charged again. I said, no, you can't. The statute of limitations has expired. It's been 8 years. Well, I can't talk about it. I said, is there any truth to it? And actually, at that moment, people in the audience started booing Chelsea Manning. And I'll tell you, the reason I think they booed was not because they were against Chelsea Manning. There's a lot of people that come to HOPE that want to stick it to the man, you know? And Chelsea Manning really stuck it to the U.S. So for that reason, I think they like Chelsea Manning. I think they booed because they realized that they weren't, that it was not the hacker ethos that she was brought in under. And the hacker ethos is, in my opinion, a lot of other people's opinion, I hope yours too, something critical, some information is concealed from you, you go, you get that information, you ferret it out, you make sure you understand it, and you disseminate it. That's not what happened with Manning. That's not what happened with how Assange was treated. That's not what happened with Snowden. So those things bothered me. But the previously non-existent political orientation, that's what pushed me over the edge. I'm very proud to be Jewish, and I support Israel. And I won't work with a group of people who think it's okay to fly a balloon of a pig with a Jewish star and a dollar sign on it. I mean, that's flat-out anti-Semitism. You can't make excuses for that. But people have in this organization, and it breaks my damn heart. It breaks my heart. I love the people here. I've got so many friends here. Listen, Alex Urbelis, who's in HOPE from the very beginning and was a speaker right before me, he's house counsel for my organization. He and I work cases together. We put bad people in jail together all the time. Bernie, when I'm working, I just was working a rape homicide in Philly. Bernie and I got together. I mean, I'd be kind of grumpy because of the case I'm working. Not a fun case. And he would take me out for, we'd sit at Chinese restaurant 1 o'clock in the morning, eating food, drinking beer, having a great time. You know, so many people from this, Frankie, Big Frank, your director of security, he's my sergeant at arms. You know, I love these people. But what's happening to Hope, it's bad news. It's bad news. And I hope to God the people who are in a position to make a decision say, you know what? We're kind of mad at Rambam, but he's right. We are going to totally divorce all politics from the Hope Conference. You know, the funny thing is, 2600, the magazine, zero politics. Zero politics. It's politics free. But Hope, I mean, they let Snowden come in uncritically. They let Manning come in uncritically. They condemn Assange for, frankly, being the best hacker out of the three of them. He released information that revealed what the Democratic Party was doing and allowed Democrats to vote in an informed way, to see how Hillary's people were screwing Bernie, to see how Hillary was being given the debate questions in advance. I mean, don't you think voters deserve to know that?
Really? You got to think about that?
Yeah, a little bit, actually. Because when you have leaks that get released by a third party, it ends up being, there's a way to make any body of information say something,
absolutely,
tell a story.
So what we talked about today. You're absolutely right.
So I'm not sure if, is Assange making a story? Is he giving us all the information?
No, it was all legit. And the DNCC and the DNC and Podesta, who was hacked, all admitted these were legit and criminal cases were opened. And it was terrible stuff. It was how they were submarining Bernie left, right, and center. By the way, I'm not a big Bernie Sanders supporter. I mean, I tell everybody, if you want to vote for a grouchy Jewish guy, vote for my dad. You know, a grouchy old Jewish guy. But of the three, Snowden and Manning and Assange was the one who was closest to the hacker ethos. What pissed everybody off, and by the way, correctly so, is he only released the stuff that screwed the Democrats. He didn't release all the Republican stuff. Now, I don't know if there was Republican stuff.
Yeah, I've definitely heard rumors that there was. I'm not sure if I've really seen anything from a source that I would necessarily trust. But
he is an accused rapist who wouldn't face his charges. That's pretty much all you got to tell me. You say somebody's an accused rapist who is dodging his charges, I don't care what else he does or how he does it. I'm not a big fan of rapists. So I'm not a fan of Assange. But I will tell you, to criticize, Hope loved Assange before those DNCC releases. Hope loved Assange. Read the 2600s and listen to what people said about Assange. But as soon as he did something that hurt the Democrats and benefited Trump, you know, even if only 50 people voted for Trump as a result, that's what pissed people off. And that's not honest. That's not honest. A guy gets information, he releases it, and it's stuff that people really have a right to know, as opposed to all of the stuff like NSA hacking tools that were thrown out. Like, you'd go, okay, come and get your nuclear weapon. I mean, this was deadly stuff that was released. And by the way, the bad guys are now using it to hack you and me. I mean, imagine being a script kiddie and you're handed the script by the NSA.
I'm actually not super familiar with the Snowden NSA leaks, but I thought that was more informational with regards to government surveillance programs and not so much like the shadow brokers.
He released everything. I don't know. By the way, I don't know who released all of the software programs. A lot of that probably was not Snowden. But Snowden released stuff. How do you release tactics used against drug dealers? Do you know right now in America, more people are dying of drug overdoses than car crashes?
Yeah.
We're having 40, 50,000 people a year. And by the way, again, we need hackers. This stuff is being ordered through the internet, shipped based on internet arrangements. 90% of the fentanyl, which is the deadliest stuff that's coming in, is coming from China through internet connections.
We're going to have to wrap this up a little bit. We're running out of time. So I guess if I had one last question to really ask you. So you're not happy with where Hope is going. Why are you removing your voice as opposed to staying and trying to add a different opinion?
When one of the Hope leaders retweeted Roger Waters slamming Israel, falsely slamming Israel, and stating that if somebody has an Israeli passport, they should never be given a job, you should never be friends with somebody with an Israeli passport, I direct messaged that 2600 and Hope leader. And I said, how can you say that? This guy is an anti-Semite. Do you support him having a balloon of a giant pink pig with a Jewish star and a dollar sign on it at all of his concerts? And the guy emailed me back one word answer, absolutely. And then about an hour later emailed me, and you know what? A lot of Jews probably feel that way also. I can't be here. Listen, I'm known as a Jewish activist. I'm known as an activist in general. But I'm known as a big supporter of Israel and a very proud Jew. And I don't want anybody to be able to say, oh, this stuff is all right. This must all be legit. This must all be correct about Israel. Otherwise, Rambam wouldn't be at the Hope Conference. I can't stay here. I can't be the human shield for this type of stuff. And honestly, breaks my heart. It really does.
I think that's pretty understandable. Well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate you coming down.
More liquor?
Yeah, we can top up your cup before you leave. All right, thank you.